Welcome to the I Create Daily podcast. I'm Leora Alderson.
And I'm Devani Alderson. We're your co-hosts on this journey of creativity and productivity.
I Create Daily is for artists in every genre of creating, from musicians to writers, crafters to inventors, bloggers to entrepreneurs. I Create Daily is a movement for creators serious about your art.
If you're into creating anything, this podcast is definitely for you. Thank you so much for joining us on this journey. Welcome to another episode of the I Create Daily podcast, a movement for creators serious about their art. I'm Devani.
And I'm Leora. And we're super excited to have the chance to converse with today's guest, CEO Jeff Woods, vice president of the One Thing Company, where Jeff gets to work directly with billionaire mentors like Gary Keller, founder of the Keller Williams Realty Company, and co-author with Jay Papasan of the One Thing book. Jeff is also the host of the Mentee podcast, where he interviews inspiring mentors as a part of his own journey to surround himself with and learn from the best. Jeff Woods is also a husband and father of two young children residing in the booming entrepreneurial city of Austin, Texas. Welcome, Jeff.
Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
And that's Jeff with a G, G-E-O-F-F, in case anyone's going to look him up afterwards. And of course, you'll be able to find everything in our show notes. We have been following you for almost 2 years now and are so excited. Like, since we had a chance to listen to you, not only on your own podcast, but on all the podcasts that you've been guests of, we have lots of conversations with you in our head. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, of all the things we've already talked with you about in our head, it's like, okay, how do we bring this down to the one thing and keep it focused so that it's, you know, the best results for our audience? And so, but that's what we're going to try and do today. And we're in good company to stay focused on that. But so tell us more about your story. Like, we know your story. How is it that you got from where you were as an employee in an job to where you are now?
Sure. So I was in medical device sales for 5 years, which was lots of fun. I wore scrubs. I ran through hospitals. I sold devices to save lives. And I think a lot of people, especially those who are listening to this, if you've ever done the 9-to-5, sometimes it just feels like something's missing. And that's where I was. I was really happy in my career, yet I wasn't fulfilled. And I also didn't have enough pain in my life to really compel me to take action. I had really comfy golden handcuffs on, and I didn't have a reason to make a change until two things happened. A colleague of mine had a stroke. He was 35 at the time. And my wife and I just had a child. We just had bought a house in Orange County. She's a stay-at-home mom. And I'm realizing that if that was me, what would happen to my family? And the next week, my company changed my commission structure, and overnight, I took a 40% pay cut. And those two things back to back, all of a sudden, the pain level went boop, real high, realizing, okay, you got to make a change. And I heard that Jim Rohn quote that you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with. And I set out on this mission to surround myself with the right mentors, and I launched the Mentee podcast as a way to record those conversations to help other people. And as a result of launching that podcast, 2 weeks after I had launched it, it was our national sales meeting for my medical device company. And Jay Papasan, who co-authored The One Thing with Gary Keller, was our speaker. And I cornered him when he came off stage. I interviewed him for the show. And I just kept following up, trying to bring value to him with the hope that we would form a relationship so that he could possibly be a mentor maybe someday down the road, maybe. And along the way of bringing value to him and Gary at least four times without ever asking for a single thing, he mentioned that they were looking for a CEO to run the company behind The One Thing. And I asked, let's talk. I know three people. I was literally thinking of three people that I was in a relationship with that I thought would be a great fit for that job. Because I'm thinking, why would they ever hire me? I'm not a CEO. And when Jay described the person they were looking for, he actually described me. And I threw my name in the hat and moved my family here to Austin 2.5 years ago and have been the face behind The One Thing ever since. And actually recruited somebody to replace me in running the Mentee because I can't be the face of The One Thing and have two things. Right. So the Mentee is still alive and well, but now I'm The One Thing.
That's a great point.
Before we go into the next one, Devani, let me just ask. So since I've heard this story, one of the things I was wondering too, several things. One is, so you were working a full-time job.
Yep.
Sole provider for your family. And meanwhile, you were starting a side gig. And this is important for our audience, especially because so many are in that place of seeking to earn a living from their creative work, from the work that they love. So now you had the podcast on the side and you were trying to add value to, you know, someone else's life. You know, so like, how did you balance all of that?
Well, first and foremost, there's no such thing as balance, right? Yeah. Stand on one foot and tell me that you're balancing. No, you're counterbalancing. You're all in on one foot. During my day job, I was all in on my territory. And I remember a mentor of mine asking me a really powerful question. He asked, how could you double your income working half the hours? How would you have to show up in your day job to earn twice as much money working half the hours? What are all the things you'd have to say no to? And what are the vital things you'd say yes to? That was really interesting because suddenly I was extreme intention when I was working the day job. And then when I came home, you know, there's family time, which a lot of that got cut short. And every single night I was in my office for at least 10 minutes advancing the ball in the business. And this is really important because a lot of people who are trying to start something on the side tell themselves a story that they don't have enough time. Yes, you do. You have time. The problem is people set the bar too high. If I had set the bar at I need to work 2 hours a day in my side business, I would have never started one. I set the bar super low. And it's the focusing question of the one thing. What's the one thing I can do? Not that you should do or you'll feel guilty if you don't do it. You actually can do it, such that by doing it, everything else will be easier or unnecessary. And I remember the nights when I'm walking up the stairs with my wife to go to bed. We're super tired. And I remember thinking to myself, I haven't moved the ball in the business yet. And I walked downstairs because I knew I could at least do 10 minutes. And quite often that 10 minutes turned into 30, which turned into an hour, which turned into 2 hours. And before you know it, I'm going from employee to entrepreneur in 10 months.
Yeah. Wow. That's pretty amazing. That's incredible.
In your journey of becoming the CEO of the one thing, you mentioned in a podcast, you said, quote, over the next 12 months, I had the most mind expanding year of my life. And very few people get to or have the opportunity to work with some of the most successful billionaires on the planet like you have, which is incredible. And so what, could you elaborate on just that whole experience that year and what was so impactful for you?
Sure. Well, first, I'm not going to comment on Gary's net worth, and I'll never publicly say anything about his net worth. So I just need to make that known. But it's really tough to read the label when you're inside the box. Mm-hmm. And every single one of us is inside a box, and it's called our own life. Mm-hmm. Our perception of the world is limited based on our experience. And when you start surrounding yourself with other people, they all have a different perspective. When you surround yourself with somebody who plays at Gary's level, he's Gary for a reason. Mm-hmm. One of my first experiences with him, when I was sharing my business plan with him, I remember he was looking at it and he's going, yeah, that's good. How's that going to take down Amazon? And I'm thinking to myself, what? And I realized it wasn't that he was saying, go build a business to compete with Amazon, because that's not our charter. That's not our mission. It was an exercise in, Jeff, that's really good. And you're not thinking big enough. Right. Quite often when we, and this is one of the things I've learned, there's different ways of setting goals. And most of us, when we set our goals, we ask a very simple question. What can I do this year? And we, on a subconscious level, acknowledge our comfort zone, our skill sets, our capacity. And we set a goal based on what we think we can do. Do you think that's where extraordinary results lies?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. And then you have these, quote, high performers that will ask a bigger question. They'll push to the outer edge of their comfort zone, to the outer edge of their skill set. They'll set a stretch goal.
Yeah.
That's not where extraordinary results lie.
Right.
When you surround yourself with the people who have produced extraordinary results, they ask questions that are so big that they require you to search for such a big answer that there's no immediate answer right away. You have to go internal and really think. The activities aren't necessarily any harder. They're just different. So to grow a business, if you're a creative, to grow a business to 6 figures a year versus growing a business to 7 figures a year, it's not that one's actually harder than the other. It's just different activities. Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about this actually last night in discussing our goals for our brands and life in general. And it's sort of like, you're going to be doing the work anyway.
Right.
You had mentioned in a podcast about growing the group from your one thing group from 700 and then being like, well, how can I double that? But then you were told, well, ask a bigger question. And so growing it to, okay, you know, 100,000 or I forget 50, the exact
000, yeah, it was 50,
number. But it's sort of like, if you're going to do the work anyway of building, of growing something, then why not just make it
right.
A bigger goal?
Right. Yeah, the quote was from that was, you need to ask bigger questions. And when you ask bigger questions, you get bigger answers.
That's right.
So, yeah, so we use, in fact, as a part of our 90-day goals, I kind of like put an X through what I had written down after seeing that. And even though it's like April 3rd and I should already be on my next, you know, my second quarter goals list, I'm starting over. Because my question wasn't big enough. And therefore, because back to the real estate analogy, it takes almost the same amount of work to sell $1 million house as it does a $100,000 house. You know, that's basically the same kind of work. And so, but it's a bigger thinking, you know, and many people who sell $100,000 houses don't necessarily think that they're quite to the level of being able to sell $1 million house, in which case that's the limit, right?
Right. Absolutely.
So, could you elaborate for our audience? You mentioned it a little bit a few minutes ago, but expand on the one thing question.
Sure. So the one thing is the surprisingly simple truth behind extraordinary results. I say that first because you have to understand this is for you if you want extraordinary, not if you want good, not if you want great. This is if you want the chance to truly experience rare air, the things that most people never get the chance to experience. And it really comes down to questions. And Gary would argue that if you ask this one question and you make it a habit of asking this and aiming it at any direction of your life, that it is the success habit, whether it's aimed at your spirituality, your physical health, your personal life, your relationships, your job, your business, your finances. And that question is, what's the one thing I can do such that by doing it, everything else will be easier or unnecessary? Now I'll break it down and explain why it's such a big question. So it's one thing. It's not two, it's not three, it's one thing I can do, which we covered this, meaning you actually have the capacity to do it. You can go and you can do it right now. Such that by doing it, meaning you're the type of person who takes action. You don't just consume content and then go check email. You implement. Yeah. Such that by doing it, everything else will be easier or unnecessary. Meaning it is such a powerful lead domino that if you just knocked that one domino down, it would automatically knock the rest of them down. And that's what makes it a big action. So when you look at your life as a creative, if you have this dream of starting a side business or monetizing your art, what's the one thing you can do such that by doing it would make achieving financial freedom through your creativity easier or unnecessary?
So what I'm getting, and we've been working with this concept more specifically this year, and I have to admit that while I read the book a few years ago, I resisted it for quite some time because I'm not a one thing person from the standpoint of I'm an ideator, a creator, and just like I wake up in this morning and have, you know, the six impossible ideas before breakfast kind of thing, maybe 60, you know, and so it's like, okay, so how does that work? When it is also just by virtue of where we are at this point in our life, there are more things going on already. And we can't, it's like having a lot of kids and you can't suddenly stuff them back where they came from. So like, what do you do? And I know that a lot of creatives as well, you know, a lot of the artists in particular resist the structure, you know, that requires one thing. In fact, we had just this morning, one of our community members who is a retired baby boomer, she was so excited. We asked her if she wanted to write an article for our website, which she did. She wrote an amazing article on drawing prompts for creatives.
Yeah.
And she wasn't even sure she wanted to, but she was so excited. She woke up at 2:30 a.m., wrote the article by the time she texted or Facebook messaged me at like 5:30 a.m. And then when I texted her to say the article was already up, which I said I would do it this evening, and I went ahead and got it done because I wanted to get it done, you know, so like it was done. And then she texted me back from the museum where she was there with her grandchildren on spring break. And she had already accomplished like a dozen things. Her bio says she refuses to focus on the one thing. So it's sort of like, I get both sides. And so now we're trying to reconcile this for creatives, which is why I throw this out there.
So I think first and foremost, you have to acknowledge that when you look at all the things you could possibly do, and I fully get, oh, you're a creative spirit. You don't like, if you're not a structured person, you like to have just a natural flow. Awesome. And at every single moment, there are a handful of things that you can do that matter most. And then there's everything else It's that simple. Everything gets divided into your most important work and everything else. It's like the 80-20 rule, the idea that 80% of your results come from just 20% of your activities. The challenge is most people, whether you're a creative or not, go through life doing all the things that don't matter, hoping to free up time for the things that matter most.
Right.
So this is about, I'm not telling you how to go through your days or what thing to pick, but it's a very clear model for how do you get clear on the one thing that's going to deliver the most value in your life and ensure that you are taking action on that first.
Right.
Yeah.
That makes sense. For those who have a hard time, and like in hearing you now and in interviews, we have been so impressed with your incredible ability to laser in. And we had a lot of fun with your listening to you with Ryan Moran on the Freedom Fastlane podcast. This is so, in fact, we'll share with you later. It's become like a little joke around our family. Some of the intonations that Ryan used in responding to you, we now have talked to you in that tone.
It's have like, to it's do one thing, Jeff.
Ryan, as the way Ryan said it. But you were just like, he was not going to break your focus. And so since you've been doing this work, yeah, you've gone so deep, not only in, I think, I'm sure, ferreting out your one thing and helping your own focus, but that of others. You know, you see that you're really getting so masterful at it. Mm. There are those that in our community who are struggling even to identify, you know, they want to know how to identify the one thing.
Correct.
So what are some of the tips for that, including like, what is my one goal? What is my one passion? That kind of thing.
I think the best way is to demonstrate it. Who wants to be in the hot seat?
Oh no. What? We opened ourselves for that. Okay, you go ahead.
I can't believe you didn't see this coming.
No, I didn't see this coming. Let's bring it on.
All right. Out of everything that's going on in your life, what's the one thing that we should be talking about right now?
And he's Ryan. For those, sorry, why I said Ryan. So for those of you who are on audio only, Jeff is asking Devani this question. So she's volunteered to be in the infamous, now becoming infamous, Jeff Woods hot seat.
So the one thing, expanding the I Create Daily brand with purposeful content that serves our audience.
Is that the one thing that you want to talk about or the one thing we really should be talking about?
It's the one thing I want to talk about.
And what's the thing that you don't want to talk about but deep down know that we should?
The daily actions of doing it. The nitty-gritty stuff that has to happen to build it. And
in particular, the technical systems aspect of it?
Yes.
Or the
technical. So my next 90-day goal is a deep dive in Facebook advertising.
Do you feel like you're skating on the surface or like you're diving deep into a thing that matters right now with your answers?
She's thinking, folks.
I think maybe a mix of both.
I'm going to ask a different question. If there's only one thing that you could change in your entire life, what is the one thing that you need help with most, that if that one thing changed would make everything else easier or unnecessary?
Being structured. I resist structure a lot.
Okay. What are the consequences of that?
I feel unproductive, which makes me feel lazy, which then puts me in a guilt cycle, which doesn't produce anything.
Say more about that.
When I'm not productive, or when I'm not doing an action that I know to take that moves our brand forward, or if I know I'm slacking, then I'm basically also, it feels like a loop where if I'm not being productive, then I continue not being productive. And yet I know that on the days where I get my one thing done and I am productive, I feel really good. I feel energized. I don't feel lazy. And then it's just the struggle of consistently working that structure.
What is it about structure that you resist?
It feels like a box, even though I know that that's just a mental thing. It still feels like a box.
What is it about it feeling like a box that stops you?
That's another good question.
Which, by the way, for any creative listening to this who battles with structure, if you have not been asking yourself these questions, you should rewind and listen again.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah, so you're not alone. I mean, as you well know.
Goodness.
And just from while you're thinking, just to share also from my observation of working with Devani day in and day out, she doesn't strike anyone as a lazy person at all. So I think that, what would you say, part of the nature of your work and service to clients in social media is that there are a lot of temptations for distraction. Is that part of it? Or is it back to the, well, I don't want to interrupt the flow of the question. So just for the record, for the world, it's not like she's lying around sleeping, you know, so.
So I'm going to ask the question again.
Good, thanks.
And let the silence carry the load.
Okay.
What is it about feeling like it's in a box that's uncomfortable for you?
It feels, I think, structure, I've equated it to being trapped and having to do things. And I've always had a resistance to doing the hardest thing. And then when I don't do it, I feel really bad that I didn't do it and I didn't push through. And I think the biggest struggle is I don't want to be somebody who doesn't do the hard thing just because it's hard. And yet I trap myself by resisting and making those things harder in my mind than they are. And it's hard to admit because I don't like being perceived like that.
Now we're getting to the good stuff. And for the people who can't see, I'm looking at a very emotional Devani, which now we know we're having the right conversation. Right? So thank you for going here. You're going to the place that most people want to hide. And that's the light that you have to shine in order to figure out how you move forward. Right?
Yeah.
I want you to imagine that you continue to show up the way you've been showing up. You continue to tell yourself the same stories that you've been telling yourself for decades. What does life look like 10 years from now if you don't make a change?
It'll feel like failing, and it will look like, it'll look, at least to me, like I avoided doing hard things because it was so much easier to be lazy and it'll just keep digging the same story deeper.
Right. I want you to take it even further. The rest of your life, you don't make a change. You continue to avoid doing the hard things because it was easier to do all the other things. And I want you to imagine that you're lying on your deathbed reflecting back on what you created and the impact that you made. Is it where you wanted it to be? When you consider that, what are your emotions?
Sadness at somebody who knew what to do but didn't do it. And then motivation because there's so much time.
So in that moment in the future, you feel incredible sadness because you're looking at the woman that you could have become. And when you bring that back to the present, you suddenly realize that you have an amazing resource called time.
Yes.
And every day you have a choice.
Definitely.
Devani, what's the one thing that you can do, such that by doing it would allow you to bring some structure in your life so that you were focusing on not necessarily accomplishing the most important thing every day, but simply moving the needle? What's that one thing that you can do such that by doing it would make everything else easier or unnecessary?
Taking my time tracking and accounting seriously and not
What's the one thing you're not doing that if you started doing immediately would completely change everything with how you perceive yourself around structure and doing your most important work?
My mindset around structure and doing
the Okay. Now we're getting somewhere. Think big, go small, right? Think big about being the type of person you've just completely reshaped your mindset around structure. You don't view it as a box. In fact, you view it as a key to freedom. Yeah. I want you to think that big, and I want you to go really small. What's that tiniest little domino that you can do every single day that if you did consistently over time would completely evolve your mindset around structure?
Solidifying a morning and evening routine that accounts and tracks for my time the day before and my time moving forward.
Okay, so some type of routine. If you could only choose doing it in the morning or the evening, and you could only choose one, which would it be?
Morning.
Morning. Okay, and there's a reason for people who are listening to this and I'm doing this. If you set the bar that you do it every morning and night and you only do the morning, how are you going to feel?
Guilty.
Like a failure. How long are you willing to feel like a failure before you just quit?
Not long.
Right. So we lower the bar. We go smaller. Okay, so morning. How long would this morning routine have to be in the morning?
5 minutes.
5 minutes. And if you do 4 minutes, how are you going to feel?
Fine.
Yeah?
Yeah.
The bar for, so then four is the goal.
Okay.
Right? How are you going to feel if you do three? You gonna still feel good if you got your 3 minutes in?
Yeah.
Okay. So the bar's not four, the bar's three. Or is it? How are you gonna feel if you do 1 minute?
Fine. As long as okay. I have a routine to follow.
Okay, good. So see how we keep going smaller? 5 minutes is a long time. You ever tried to meditate for 5 minutes?
Yes.
And I have ADHD, so.
It's a freaking long time.
It is.
So here you are trying, I'm getting you to set the bar lower and lower and lower. I like a minute.
Yeah.
And what will you do if you find that you can't do a minute consistently?
Lower it to 30 seconds.
Boom. And if you can't do 30 seconds?
Then I'm really messed up and I need to start
back. Messed up. Okay. So there's, right? But the idea here is give yourself permission to reset the bar.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. Lower it until it's something that you can do consistently. Now I'm hearing you say that it needs to be a routine. So what's one thing that you could do for 30 seconds to a minute every day that if you did that over time would reshape your mindset around structure and getting your most important work done?
Jotting my list down and telling somebody else. I'm very motivated by somebody else wondering if I've done something or not.
Okay, so I heard you say actually document what your priorities are and bring accountability into the mix.
Yes, is that two things?
No. Well, kind of, and I like the accountability because we were going to go there anyways. Okay, can I lower the bar even more?
Yes.
Can you every single day write down the one thing that you can do today that would make the biggest impact in your business?
Absolutely.
Okay, that may take 5 seconds, right?
Yeah.
I like that as the mark of success. Can you, in fact, I think, let me look at this, theonething.com/daily focus. Let me see if this still works. Daily. Okay, you're going to love me. Go to theonething.com/daily priority. And that's with the number one in the URL. theonething.com/daily priority. Behind the scenes, we've been working on reinventing the paper calendar. And this was a one-page PDF that I created that we've been having our members fill out every day. And they said that just doing this one thing has been one of the most transformative things when it comes to their focus and their clarity on their priorities. And every day, you just fill out, what's the one thing you must get done today? You write it down and then it asks, is it on your calendar? Yes or no? And you put a check next to it. And then you ask the question, what could distract or challenge you getting this one thing done? So you're already identifying the distractions proactively. Those questions, like if you could just fill that out every single day for the next 66 days, and the reason 66 is because that's how long it takes on average to make it a habit, you will become the type of person habitually who has clarity on their priorities.
Excellent.
And if you had that clarity on your priorities every single day, what do you think is going to happen?
I'm going to become far more productive and achieve the things I actually want to achieve as opposed to just saying I want to achieve these things.
Now I want you to fast forward 10 years again, but this time for 10 years, every single day, you've gotten clear on the one thing that you could do that day that would make the biggest impact. You got it on your calendar and you proactively eliminated distractions. How different would your life be 10 years from now?
Pretty incredible. Focused, productive. I won't feel like I've failed. I'll definitely, I don't know exactly where I'll be, but I know I'll be in a space where I'm productive and I'm not constantly feeling guilty about not doing things that I know I should do.
Now I want you to go even further. You're at the end of your life and you're on your deathbed and you've consistently every single day had that level of clarity. You've taken that type of action. You have protected your time to do the things that actually matter most. How much bigger of an impact and legacy are you leaving?
Much greater. I'll definitely feel at peace.
Okay. So what I just heard you say is that by believing that structure is a box, you're actually stealing your future and your peace. Mm. That your thoughts are actually shackling you to a life of regret rather than a life of fulfillment and peace. How can you, in those moments when, because you've got these habits in your head, right? You've unintentionally formed these habits that structure equals bad. How can you remind yourself when you notice those thoughts, how can you cancel them and remind yourself of this conversation right now?
I'll stop calling it structure and start calling it routine.
Because and routine equals what?
Routine equals the action. Routine equals success, freedom, and peace.
There's a quote in the book, in The One Thing, from F.M. Alexander. People don't decide their futures. They decide their habits, and their habits decide their futures. I get it. As a creative, sometimes the idea of routine, it just has a certain feeling that doesn't exactly jive or feel in alignment. Habit, however, has a different feeling, has a different energy, right? What are the habits you can acquire today that would automatically carry you to your goals? Can you develop the habit of having clarity on the thing that's going to make the biggest difference in your life? Can you develop the habit of taking action on that one thing first before you go into a free spirit the rest of the day?
Yeah.
Right? Now let's bring the accountability in. Do we have your commitment that you will do this every day for the next 66 days?
Yes.
Okay. Who will be your accountability buddy?
Laura, mom.
Great.
And she's a really good accountability buddy because she doesn't let me get by with things.
How will she know when you complete your sheet every day?
I will give it to her.
Do you see her every day?
Yeah.
Okay. What will the consequence be if you don't hand her the sheet before you put your head on the pillow for the day? What's something that would be painful for you? Really painful. Blood boiling.
Not going to sleep. That's probably not painful enough, though.
Waking up earlier.
Ugh. That would be painful. I don't think that's enough, though. It might be.
Waking up
early. Can I ask you a question? I'm going to lead you here a little bit because this works for other people. Can you think of some political party or organization that you're vehemently against?
Any organization that harms animals.
Great. How much money is enough money that you could cut a check and it would hurt if it went away?
like $100.
Okay. How do you feel about writing a check, making it out to that organization and handing it on over, and you miss a day, the check gets sent.
Oh, that'd be terrible. That would be horrible. I think that would motivate me. That'd do it.
Now notice that the mark of success is not if you do it by 9 a.m. It's can you do it before the pillow, right? Keep a stack of the papers by your freaking bed. You don't have to go down this rabbit hole, but I'm really taking it to the extreme of how do you bring accountability into your life? A lot of people just need a higher level of pain to compel them to take action. I sure did. It's how I went from employee to entrepreneur. Yeah. So from a high level, we went someplace really interesting and I didn't see it going here, but you've got this story that you're telling yourself when it comes to structure and you push against it. And I see it all the time with creatives. But the truth is, as long as you rely on your natural abilities, you will have a ceiling over your achievement. You will limit what you can create. You will limit the impact you can make. When you identify some types of models, systems, call it structure, call it habits, that's when you break through the ceiling of achievement. That's when you have more impact. That's when you create more. Yeah. And for you, the one thing that you can do such that by doing it would make that easier or unnecessary is simply writing down the one thing that'll make the biggest impact in your day. I didn't say that you had to do it. It was write it down. Can you do that? Yeah. There you go.
So
thank you.
You didn't see this going there, did you?
No. And like you said, I should have seen it coming. I don't know why my mind wasn't even there, because I guess we were thinking about you and our story and our sharing with you. But that was very powerful. And I think, like you said, very effective for most of our audience. They can ask those same questions and fill in their answers in those blanks.
Devani, there's one thing I want to acknowledge you for. I asked you questions and you searched for answers.
Yeah.
There was silence. For most people, when they get that kind of silence, and you saw it happen where you jumped in there and you tried to save her a little bit, the silence carries the lifting. You got to search for the answer, because I'm asking you bigger questions and I really honor the fact I didn't even have to tell you to go there. Like you naturally paused and took as much time as it took for you to find that answer.
Thank you.
That's really powerful. So good job.
Thanks.
Yeah. And thank you too for reminding me. I should have known that as well, because I've heard you say the power of silence to let it be filled mm-hmm. by the person being interviewed. So thank you for reminding me of that as well. And so speaking of, and thanks to Devani for going there and being willing to be vulnerable with that. And speaking of vulnerable, Jeff, your most downloaded podcast is episode 100. And it is
of the one thing.
Excuse me. Thank you. Of the one thing podcast. And I don't know exactly if the reason it was the most downloaded is because you allowed yourself to go to a vulnerable place yourself, or if it was because of the nature of the topic, or a combination. Do you have any sense of that?
Yeah. So what you just witnessed with Devani happened to me. I had a conversation with a woman named Susan Scott, who I've intentionally formed a relationship with because I believe in surrounding myself with people who are where I want to be. And she asks really big, powerful questions. And so I've been on a road to mastering asking great questions. You just got to witness some of it. Susan turned the tables on me and asked the same questions. And for me, I talked about something that probably most people listening to this are struggling with, which is, have you at any point in time in your life allowed your lifestyle to rise to meet or exceed your level of income? Have you ever gotten the bigger apartment, the bigger house, the fancier car, some material object because you thought it said something about you, and you let your lifestyle rise when income rose? The challenge that I have now had twice is I have experienced what it's like to move backwards in income and to have a lifestyle that is at an elevated level. And in our case recently, I found myself, if I want to run this company, I have to look out for the best interests of the company. And I found myself making short-term decisions in the company to make more money to afford a lifestyle rather than doing the right things for the company so that we could build long-term growth and make a big impact. And that's a real problem that a lot of people face. So I went there and I ended up crying more than you did, Bonnie. So there you go.
No, but it was wonderful and beautiful. And I think such a show of integrity, really, to be willing to be so vulnerable and then to share that with the world because you knew that it would help many other people. And, you know, there are so many men in particular, I think, that bear the burden of wanting to create a certain life for their family and a feeling of failure if you cannot uphold what that is. And so, you know, that, and in particular, you being a hard driven, very intense entrepreneur, like you said, I think you're like all out or on off, you know, like you're either on or off all the way, right?
Fast forward and off.
Yeah, thank you. Fast there you go. Yeah. And so it's like for you to, you know, to have to be at a place also that you're out of your comfort zone because you've been successful at so many of the things you've done. And yet your choice to purposely place yourself around people who have done more and know more and have achieved more than you have thus far. I mean, you're also serving those who haven't, but you're surrounding yourselves with the five people or more who are where you want to go, which is, I think many of us don't do that because then you feel like you're always the lower man of the totem pole. It's like, you know, it's like there's kind of some conflict there because that's not your personality. Your personality is being assertive and hard-driven, intense and successful. And then you find yourself in that place. So anything else you want to share on that? And also where you've come since that episode 100?
Well, since that episode, I mean, I realized that my wife and I needed to get on the same page. And I had to get really clear, like finances is the number one cause of divorce. Right? Money. So how do you take a big complex challenge like that? How do I get on the same page as my significant other when it comes to finances? And boiled it down to the one thing that I could do. We were having regular Sunday meetings. That wasn't working because it felt like I was just jamming it down her throat. And what it really boiled down to is I had to be more interested in her than be interested in what I wanted. Money was a hot button for me, is what I discovered after the episode. And her hot button had to do with finding inner happiness. So she would go and do things that required material possessions to try to look outward for happiness instead of looking inward. So the thing that alleviated her pain created mine. And so the one thing that I actually can do to completely transform our family finances is to help my wife get what she wants first, which comes down to asking a single question. What does she need help with? How do I make her happy today? What are the things I can do for Amy today? It all comes down to her first, which makes all of a sudden now she's on board with the finances. It's amazing.
Yeah, fantastic. Fantastic. And I think it was in that interview with Susan Scott that isn't that where she said something like they discovered that the relationship was the conversation or the conversation.
Yeah. People. She has a quote that the conversation is the relationship. If you want to try to evaluate the quality of your relationships, look no further than the quality of your conversations. Mm-hmm. If you can't go where you naturally want to hide, that says something about where your relationship is. Right. That's a real tough accountability measure because you start realizing people that really matter to you, you're telling yourself the story that the relationship's better than it really is.
Yeah, that's a good point. So relative to the one thing, now it's actually, you guys have a chart that breaks it down into different areas of life, like relationships and finances and health and that sort of thing. So how is it that you divvy up the one thing relative to your life and your daily creative structure?
So page 114 of the book is the seven circles. It's the seven most important areas of your life. It's your spirituality, because every single one of us at some point is going to ask, why are we here? It's your physical health, because if you don't have your body, where are you going to live? It's your personal life, meaning the things you do for yourself personally, then your relationships, meaning all the people you're in relationship with, significant other, kids, partners, coworkers, friends, mentors, mentees, all of it. Then you have your job, meaning what you do in your day-to-day role. Then you have your business. Even if you're an employee, there's one thing that you do that serves the overall mission, and then your finances. One of the greatest misunderstandings of the one thing is we all have more than one thing. Success is sequential, not simultaneous, meaning one thing at a time. So the Reader's Digest version of how you get clarity on your one thing is look at the seven circles and ask the question, if I could only move the ball in one of the seven circles, which would it be? And you can go through the, oh, but Jeff, I can do two. BS, pick one. Pick one. right? And then ask the focusing question, what's the one thing I can do for my spirituality such that by doing it, everything else will be easier or unnecessary? What's the one thing I can do for my finances such that by doing it, everything else will be easier or unnecessary? And keep asking the focusing question until you get to the point where you go so small that that lead domino is you write down your focus for the day. Or for some people, when they want to be present with their family, it's putting their cell phone in a dish when they walk in the door. For transforming their health, it's putting on their gym shoes. Right? Small. And then go on a 66-day challenge, which is our metric for forming habits, which if you guys go to theonething.com with the number one in the URL and you click on free stuff, you'll see the 66-day challenge calendar there. You print that out, and every day you do your one thing, you put a big fat red X on that day, and pretty soon it becomes less about doing the activity and more about not breaking the chain.
Right. Yeah. So relative to that, I lost my thought actually. Are there any areas of business? Like you shared about your story, a little bit about your story from the interview with Susan Scott. Are there any, and that was more personal. So are there any areas of business that you struggle with currently?
My biggest challenge is making sure that I'm living up to the expectations and deliver and being reflective of the brand. Jay said to me early on that he and Gary invested 5 years researching and writing the one thing so that the bar for quality would be here.
Yeah.
And my job was to come in and raise the bar, not lower it. And for creatives, you get this. Like you create things and it says something about you, but imagine you step into a world of a multiple New York Times bestseller where just there is an expectation of world-class quality. The category killer out of, if you're going to write a book for that category, it is the single best book, period. Mm-hmm. And your job is to raise that bar, not lower it. So every day I look in the mirror and ask, am I delivering an experience that's reflective of the brand? Are we creating products that are reflective of the brand? Is our messaging reflective? All of it. It's just, it's a high bar.
Yeah. Well, and speaking of high bars, and so I remember the question I was going to ask a moment ago, and that is, you started, you know, how small can you go in setting the bar, raising the bar?
Yeah.
And then we started out talking about ask big questions in order to achieve big things. So where's the bridge between those two?
The vision, I think big about being the type of person who creates world-class content that people can't live without, that creates world-class products that helps people take back control of their time and have clarity on how they want to invest it. And then I go really small. Out of all the things I can do right now, what's the one thing I can do such that by doing it will make all that easier or unnecessary? And so it's a matter of my email inbox is not open. I'm not in social media all the time. I'm not bouncing between browser tabs. I am focused on one thing, and I don't earn the right to shift my focus until that's done.
Okay. And so that's what you mean by going micro. And if it is that the higher bar is not achievable. And so part of what you're talking about going micro is to make sure that it gets done. Is that?
Yeah. Yeah, because you keep working it down to the point that it's an action that you can do such that by doing it makes all the rest easier or unnecessary.
Okay, awesome. Is there any parting advice you want to share with our audience before we let you
go? If this has helped you, I would encourage you to share it with somebody. You know, these are conversations that most people don't have. And if this made a difference for you, recognize that you're in an even more powerful position and that you get to then share it with somebody else and hopefully make an impact in their life. And if you like this type of thing, you can subscribe to the One Thing podcast, go to theonething.com with the number one in the URL. We got a ton of stuff on there that'll help you get started. And we just appreciate you guys having us on.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Jeff. Thanks for being who you are in the world as well.
And thanks for coming on the journey the past few years. It really means a lot.
Thanks. Okay.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks so much for joining us for the I Create Daily podcast. Please let us know what creatives you would like us to interview and what topics you would be interested in hearing more about.
And if you enjoyed this show, please leave a review on iTunes. We value your feedback. We read all the reviews, and it just helps us get the word out on the I Create Daily podcast. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much.